This evening we return to the Gospel of Luke, and we continue our series of sermons as we return to chapter 11. Chapter 11 we consider this morning verses 5 through 13 as the Lord Jesus continues to teach his disciples that to be a true disciple, in addition to obedience, in addition to service, in addition to learning, we ought to develop a habit of prayer. The Lord Jesus began this teaching, as we consider this Lord's Day, giving the disciples a specific format of prayer, a model of prayer, which we call the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that the Lord Jesus himself has given us. And he now continues this very same teaching as we consider verses 5 through 13. And he inculcates in his disciples the need not only to have a method of prayer, but to have a right disposition of how to pray. You see, Christians, as we consider these verses this morning, the Lord Jesus is trying to teach us that not only a method of prayer is important, but also a way of praying, a disposition of our own heart in how to address the great God in heaven in prayer. With this in mind, let us turn together to Luke chapter 5, chapter 11, verses 5 through 14. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 13, as we read. And he said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you, for everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread, for any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him?" Thus far the reading of God's Word. Let us pray together. Great God in heaven, we come once again before your holy writs, your inerrant and infallible Word, and we understand, O Lord, that without the aid of your Spirit, we can't understand these letters. We can't be convinced of our sins. We can't be comforted and encouraged. And Father, we pray that by the power of your Spirit, that it would grant us understanding, that it would grant us repentance, that it would grant us encouragement. Father, we pray that it would remove the blindfold of our eyes so that we may see the beauty, the instructiveness, and the consolation of your law. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. Do you find it difficult to ask things for people? Sometimes we have this problem, don't we? Sometimes we are ashamed of asking things because when we ask things, it makes it clear our need. It makes clear that we are lacking something. And therefore, out of sometimes pride, out of sometimes shame, we prefer not to ask so that we're not going to expose ourselves or expose our families, and we don't get it. We don't receive what we are in need because we don't ask. Sometimes we don't ask because we are already prejudging what the response or what the answer is going to be. Sometimes we are afraid to ask because we have received so many no's, and therefore we get discouraged. We don't want to risk having a negative answer all over again. There are so many reasons that creep in our lives, that creep in our hearts, that make it really hard to ask. Pride, fear, and some sort of a level of suspicion. And you see, the same thing that we experience in our lives as this difficulty to ask to one another, it is also present in the way we relate with our God. And that's precisely what the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to remind us here. Our temptation as human beings, as fallen human beings, is to deal with the Lord the way we deal with one another. The temptation is to not ask to the Lord because we are too much afraid of the answer that we are going to receive, or because sometimes we think that God is too busy to take care of our own affairs. He's busy with more important, with bigger things than our tiny little problems. Well, the Lord Jesus wants to assure us that that's not the case. As we reach now verses 5 through 13, the Lord Jesus now encourages His disciples with a specific way of addressing God in prayer. He had previously, as we have already considered, teach them a method of prayer. How are the words that they are to employ when they are addressing God in prayer? And now in these verses, He continues His teaching on prayer, teaching the disciples what's the appropriate disposition of heart with which they shall address God in prayer. Without fear, without suspicion, without embarrassment, the Lord Jesus teaches us that when we pray, we need to count on God's willingness, on God's faithfulness, and on God's goodness. Christian, is that what encourages you in your path of prayer? Do you sit here today encouraging your own soul, reminding yourself of God's willingness, of God's faithfulness, and of God's goodness? These are the three precise elements we find in this text that the Lord Jesus uses to encourage His disciples to develop a life of prayer. He encourages His disciples to abandon all fear, to abandon all embarrassment, and when they pray, they ought to count on God's willingness, on God's faithfulness, and on God's goodness. Christians, when you pray, count on God's willingness, on God's faithfulness, and on God's goodness. As we turn our attention to verses 5 through 8, we'll learn that we are to count on God's willingness when we pray. We are to count on God's willingness. The Lord Jesus then in verse 5 begins giving this impossible situation. Now we know that this is not only a hypothetical, but an impossible situation because of this beginning formula that He uses in the starting of the story. He says, "Which of you shall have a friend?" So anyone listening to this story already is prepared with these very three first words, which of you, that the Lord Jesus is going to say something, is going to tell a story that is ordinarily not possible to happen. And this is very clear when we look at the whole context in which the Lord Jesus places this story. The story takes place as late at night, at midnight, says the text. And it takes place in a situation where you, a specific person, would be lacking a very basic element of ancient Near East time, which is bread. In verse 5, the text says that a man is at midnight knocking at the door of a friend, and he's asking for 3 loaves of bread. Now, let us keep in mind that hospitality in first century Palestine was something very, very important. The same way we have our house rules that we would be very, very offended if people, visitors, would break. One of these house rules for first century Palestine people would be hospitality. It would be a huge embarrassment for the house if they would not be prepared to receive and to welcome people into their fellowship if their door would be knocked. It would be a great embarrassment for the head of that household if they wouldn't be prepared to welcomely receive visitors in their home. And that's precisely the situation that the Lord Jesus here describes. That basic element for welcoming people, which is bread, is absent. And it is precisely in this almost impossible, very inordinarily situation that the Lord Jesus sets the context of the story. A friend now is knocking someone else's door, asking for bread. Now, keep in mind as well that whomever is having their door knocked also know of all these regulations, is also aware of all the situation. The person that is having their door knocked know how embarrassing it is for a family not be able to welcome visitors in their own household. But surprisingly, what we see in the text is a neighbor, is a friend who has no sympathy for this humiliating situation. The text says that the answer that comes from inside the house is, first of all, it is too late. Look at verse 7, it says, the answer that comes from within is, do not trouble me, the door is now shut. Now, it was common practice in society at that time to leave the doors open as long as the family and the house is actively busy. Now that the door is shut, all activities have ceased. That's precisely first barrier that this desperate friend finds. He finds another friend who is unwilling to help. The door is shut. The time is past. There is nothing for you here at this time anymore. Not only that, but all my family is already resting. Again, in verse 7, he says, do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. Perhaps the Lord Jesus is here describing the typical house that would have a living room where family and friends would be received, and a common bedroom where all the family would then sleep. And the argument that this friend is saying from inside is that now everybody's sleeping. I can't stand up and step on my children or wake my children up to serve you in any way. In addition, there is a fourth reason. It says, my children are within me, and I cannot rise and give it to you. In other words, it's saying, I am not willing to do so. You see, the Lord Jesus then gives us this embarrassing situation in which the lack of preparedness is displayed, and the lack of desire to help is expressed. The reason why this friend is not standing up is not because he is unable. It's not because he has not bread. It's because he doesn't want to get up and help. How embarrassing. How shameful the situation is. But you see, the Lord Jesus sets then this in contrast. The Lord Jesus then in verse 8 reminds us that God who is in heaven, our Heavenly Father, whom he had just taught us how to pray, is nothing like this friend. He says, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to you because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And you see, the Lord Jesus is trying to teach us by association, as we will notice in the next verses, that the Lord God in heaven, the Heavenly Father, who he taught them how to pray to, is nothing like this person. Lord Jesus is telling that because of the persistency of this man, not because of the relationship, but because this man is knocking the door, is there asking so incessantly that he will be answered. Now, this word that is translated as persistence here in the New King James is a very interesting word. This is the only time this word shows up in the Greek New Testament, in the entire corpus and entire letters of the New Testament. It's the only time when the Lord Jesus employs this word. And therefore, it has become a word of much dispute among theologians, among interpreters, what is exactly the Lord Jesus teaching here? Our translation has translated it in a very positive way. But when we look at the lexicons, it seems that instead of persistency, what the Lord Jesus is trying to communicate here to us is that this man is persisting shamelessly. When we look at the dictionaries, what we notice is that the very meaning of this word is a lack of sensitivity to what is proper. It may be translated as insolence, as audacity, even as rudeness, as someone who has no barriers and no breaks, someone who is displaying a rude behavior. And all of a sudden, this makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Look, this man is knocking someone else's door at midnight. This is something that you simply don't do. Midnight has come, and unless really this is a life-threatening situation, you don't go on someone else's home knocking their doors at midnight. This man is without shame trying to find a solution for his problem, without worrying with the protocols, with the norms of society. This man is knocking the door of this friend, asking for help without any preoccupation. If he's going to be misinterpreted, if he's going to be rejected, if this is the proper way or the proper thing to do. It seems that the Lord Jesus encouraged us, therefore, to knock the Lord's door willingly, because God Himself is willing to answer us. Regardless of the situation, regardless of how improper the circumstances may look like, regardless of how improper the petition may look like, the Lord Jesus is encouraging us to count on the willingness of God while this friend is unwilling to help and to move all the barriers to go to the door and to really give the bread that is being required. While he is unwilling, and even unwillingly, he does so, as the Lord Jesus says, because of his persistence or because of his shameless rudeness or his shameless audacity, he will be listened. So much more will the Lord be willing. The one who has no hindrances, the one whose power has no boundaries or limits, the one who does not set schedules for us to reach out Him. As a commentator explained, he says, we must pray boldly, even shamelessly, presenting our petitions before God and then continuing to pray about them until we get an answer. Christian, let us be encouraged this morning to persevere in prayer, to pray counting on the willingness of God to respond. So many times we feel ashamed to address our great God in prayer. So many times there are hindrances in our lives that may be a barrier for us to open our mouths and cry out to our Heavenly Father. When He has opened wide the doors of heaven to receive our petitions, to have communion with us through His Son, when He Himself has commanded us to go to Him in prayer and has given us the perfect words to address Him in prayer. Perhaps you sit here this morning and you are late to bring before the Lord some specific petition. Perhaps it's because you are full of shame. Perhaps you are ashamed of the kind of petition you have. Perhaps you are ashamed of the lack of that specific element that you are asking for, and you are ashamed of the lacking of it before the great God in heaven. The Lord Jesus reminds us this morning that there's no shame that should hinder us to come before the Lord in prayer. Christian, learn this morning. Count on the willingness of God. There is no petition that is too small. There is no need that will be despised. Over and over again, the Lord reminds us that we will never listen from Him, I am too busy for you. I have no time at this moment. This specific requirement is too small for me. Let us be insistent in our prayers and our petitions. Let us be clear and direct. Our Heavenly Father has His ears open to our petitions, and He encourages us to come before Him. Let us put aside all shame. Let us put aside all unbelief. Let us actually make that a prayer petition, that the Lord will make us a people who is insistent in prayer. Perhaps you sit here this morning and you're a part of those who are a little bit frustrated with themselves. They begin with a resolution to pray. And they begin praying for quite some time. But then they all of a sudden get cold. They don't really count on that need for prayer anymore, or even the petition that is being asked for. Because for the Lord's own secret will, not revealed unto us, He is desiring not to speedily answer our prayer. Or because He's not answering our prayer the way we want to pray, then we all of a sudden we grow cold. And we don't want to pray anymore. You see, when that is the state of our soul, we need to revisit these verses. We need to be reminded that the Lord, who has commanded us to address Him in prayer, is always willing to receive our prayers and willing to respond our prayers. Another commentator explains this so beautifully. He says, "It is far more easy to begin a habit of prayer than to keep it up. Thousands take up a habit of praying for a little season after some special mercy or special affliction, and then little by little become cold about it. And at last, lay it aside. Oh, let us resist this feeling. Whenever we feel it rising within us, let us resolve by God's grace that however poor and feeble our praise may seem to be, we will pray on." Oh, Christian, listen to this morning. Your King in heaven, the Savior of your soul, commands you, pray on. No matter how difficult the prayer petition is, no matter how embarrassing it is, praying shamelessly, praying before the Lord with impudence, with persistency, your petition. Because that is His command to you. That is His command to you. When we pray, we need to count on God's willingness to receive and to answer our prayers. But as we move on to text, we need to also count on God's faithfulness. We need to count on God's faithfulness when we pray. The Lord Jesus not only encourages us to be shameless when we come before the Lord, for He's willing to receive our prayer. He's nothing like this friend. But He's not only desires to listen, but He's also faithful and promises to respond. He says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you." What a great incentive to prayer, isn't it? If there's any hindrance in your heart this morning, Christian, forbidding you, being a hindrance to you to address your great God in heaven in prayer, may it be demolished by King Jesus right now and this morning. The Lord Jesus encourages us, promising us that the Lord will answer our prayer. The Lord will answer it. It's guaranteed. He will answer what we are praying for. Now, does that mean that the Lord will answer any prayer petition? It's very important that we read these words of the Lord Jesus Christ in light of the whole context of the passage. Let us remember that in verses 1 through 4, the Lord Jesus has given us what is specific things to pray for. He committed us to pray, for example, for God's name to be glorified, as we notice in verse 2. We are commanded to pray that the name of the Lord will be praised and worshipped everywhere. We are also commanded to pray for the coming of His kingdom, for the expansion of the kingdom of God. That's part of God having the preeminence in the world. But we're also supposed to pray for our provision. The Lord Jesus commands us to pray that the Lord would give us the day, every day, our daily bread. We are commanded to pray for pardon. We are to pray that the Lord would forgive us our sins. recommended to pray for protection that would deliver us from temptation. You see, when the Lord Jesus then in verse 9 is saying, "So I say you ask and it will be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it will be open to you." He's saying these things in reference to the petitions that he himself has given us. Now that really gives us a lot of assurance, doesn't it? For if these are the petitions that the Son himself has given us to pray for, isn't it assured to us that the Father will answer the petitions that the Son has given us to pray for? You see, because of that intimacy and relationship of love between the Father and the Son, we are assured indeed that when we pray the way Jesus commanded us to pray, we will be answered. We will ask and it will be given to you. When we pray according to His own will and according to His own desire, according to the model that He has given us, praying the same petitions that He has commanded us to pray, we will knock and it will be open unto us. Let us not be deceived thinking that these verses 9 and 10 talks about any sort of petition. There's a lot of people out there who interprets this verse in this way, disregarding the context in which the Lord Jesus is giving this command and teaches that whatever you pray for, whatever you desire, whatever you ask, as God in heaven was supposed to be our personal genie, He's going to give it to us. Well, that's not what Jesus is teaching at all in this text. Jesus is telling us that God is faithful. Faithful in listening our prayers and faithful in answering when we pray according to His own petitions. When we use those petitions as our model. When we pray for God's glorification. When we pray for the expansion and the dominion of His kingdom. When we pray for our daily needs of health and bread and other needs of our soul. When we pray for protection against evil and temptations, these are petitions that for sure, says the Lord Jesus, God will answer. Therefore, the Lord Jesus is not saying that He's going to grant us everything or anything. But He's teaching that as we use His model of prayer, it is in reference to those petitions that we may be assured God is faithful to respond. God is faithful, Christian, to deliver you from your temptations. God is faithful to forgive you your sins when you pray for that. God is faithful to expand His kingdom and His domain over the world. God is faithful to bring glory to His name, even from the mouth of the most vicious opponent. But in addition to all these blessings, to all this encouragement, the Lord Jesus gives us another encouragement in verse 10. He says, "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to he who knocks it will be open." You see, the Lord Jesus reminds in verse 10 that this ability to receive things from heaven, when we ask, when we ask according to God's own will, when we ask according to God's own petitions, He's saying that everyone who makes such a prayer will be answered. The Lord Jesus is teaching His disciples that there is no such a thing as a special place for individual believers. That there are no believers that has a special access to God that another believer does not have. He's saying that the same Spirit that indwells us and brings us unto true conversion grants us the same hearing before God. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your sufferings. It doesn't matter your level of experience in the Christian walk. It doesn't matter how many years you have been a Christian and partaking of the Lord's Supper. It doesn't matter if you have a position in the church or if you are a church officer. The Lord Jesus is saying everyone has this very blessed same access. Boys and girls, what a great encouragement that is for you today, isn't it? Sometimes we think that prayer is only for adults. Daddy leads us in prayer when it's time for our devotionals, it's time for our family worship, or when in meals times, isn't it? Well, you know, Daddy leads us in prayer because he is the head of the household. He's the leader in your home. But you see, boys and girls, listen to what Jesus is telling you today. It's not because you are a child that God doesn't listen to you. On the contrary, he's saying that everyone has the ear of God. Everyone who has been saved by God himself, every one of their covenant children who has been brought into fellowship with him, everyone through whom that God has indeed sacrificed his son for, everyone, regardless of his age, regardless of his experience, regardless if he's a well-read or poorly read person, everyone that prays according to the prayer that Jesus has given has a hearing with the Lord and can count on God's faithfulness. What a great encouragement to you. Young lad and young lady, I'm sure you're experiencing all the troubles that your age bring with you. Depending on the age that you are now, you're facing troubles with contentment. You're facing problems with pornography. You're facing problems with disobedience towards your parents. You're facing problems with indeed seeking the Lord instead of seeking the things of this world. The Lord Jesus reminds us this morning that you can pray for each one of these things. You can pray, young man, for each one of these things. Young lady, you can pray for each one of these things. You can bring before the Lord that He would give a chaste mind and body. You can bring before the Lord the need that He will lead you into sanctification and holiness, that He will give you direction in life, that He will raise up a spouse to you, that He will grant you more of His Holy Spirit, that He will give you comfort, that He will make you obedient to your parents, that you would abandon all impurity and all pornography. The Lord Jesus is securing us that everyone who is indwelt by God's Spirit and uses the model of prayer that He has given us can count on God's willingness to respond and can count on God's faithfulness to respond. Let us be encouraged this morning. Let us not let anything hinder our prayers before the Lord, regardless how big the petition is. Regardless of how unlikely it is that God will answer. If it is according to the petitions that He has given us to pray, we will never hear from our great God, "Don't bother. Don't bother me with your troubles right now." We're never going to hear from our great God in heaven, "I have more important things to do than to listen to what you have to say." You are never going to hear from our great God, "I have no time for your tiny and petty little problems." The Lord Jesus is securing us this morning that we have a guaranteed hearing with the Lord. Our Heavenly Father is willing to listen our prayers. Our Heavenly Father is willing and faithful to respond our prayers that is made according to the model He has given us. As a commentator said, "Our Lord in heaven is our midnight friend." Oh, Christian, remember that. Your Lord in heaven is your midnight friend. When we pray, we need to count on God's willingness. When we pray, we need to count on God's faithfulness. But lastly now, as we reach verses 11 through 13, when we pray, we need to count on God's goodness. The Lord will respond our prayers in a good way, giving us that which is indeed good for us. The Lord Jesus again gives us another absurd situation. Beginning in verse 11, He sets this specific situation. He says, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion?" Now, perhaps you're thinking, "Well, you know, I know people who would do that. I know evil men in this world that are so evil, they're so mean, that if their own children would ask for any of these things, he would give them nothing, or he would give them something completely different and bad for them." Well, of course, there are evil people like that in the world. But Lord Jesus is giving us an ordinary situation. Notice, again in verse 11, He says, "If a son asks from any father among you," You who ordinarily know the Lord, you who ordinarily know what ethics is, know what it is to live a life of morality. Would anyone, any father, ordinarily behave in this way, behave in this situation? And the answer is obviously no. No one would do that ordinarily. On the contrary, even those parents who are not in the Lord, they will go out of their way to bless their kids, to make their wills, to help them in whatever they need. That's precisely the dichotomy, the association that the Lord Jesus wants us to have in our minds. How do we know that? Oh, look at verse 13. He says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask you? Now, there are two things I would like to bring to your attention this morning in this very last verses. The first one is the principle that is in here. The principle is that God will always give us what is good. What a comfort. What a comfort. Do you know why? Because sometimes we are the ones praying for a stone. Sometimes we are the ones praying for a scorpion. Sometimes we are the ones who are praying for that which is bad for us. We are the ones who are praying for that which will make us bad, for a serpent to bite us and to kill us. And this text assures us that as we pray, and we don't know properly how to pray, the Lord assures us that even when we ask for bad things, the Lord will do His will. The Lord will give us what is good. And when we pray indeed for that which is good, when we pray according to the prayer that He is giving, He will indeed answer out of the goodness of His own being. He will answer us in a generous way. He will give us exactly that what we need in an abundant measure. You see, Christian, this is the principle. When we pray to our great God in heaven, He will answer in a gracious and good way, with a measure that goes beyond our imagination, with abundance and mercy towards us. That's why we should pray shamelessly. That's why we should knock persistently. That's why we should come before Him, counting on His faithfulness to answer. Because when He answers with good. He answers with that which is good. This is the very general principle. But there's a second thing here that is very important for us to consider. It is this unlikely, but at the same time, greatest gift. Unlikely petition, but at the same time, greatest gift that the Lord would ever give to a sinner. The Lord Jesus says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts for your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now, the Lord Jesus has not taught us to pray for the Holy Spirit or to give us the Holy Spirit in the Lord's Prayer. He taught us to pray for the preeminence of God. He taught us to pray for provision, for pardon, for protection. But you see here in verse 13, the Lord Jesus gives us the supreme petition that any sinner could bring before the mercy and good Father in heaven. It's to pray to be indwelt by the Spirit of God. It's to pray to be dominated by the Spirit of God. It's to pray to be indwelt by the Spirit, to live according to the Spirit. And you see, in light of what we have already learned in verse 10, anyone can pray that petition. From old to young, from experienced to non-experienced, may come before the Lord praying that the Holy Spirit would indeed indwell in them and live with them and guide them into a life of holiness and repentance and transformation to glorify God through the power of the Spirit. And that's a reminder that while we ought to pray for God's preeminence, while we are to pray for the provision that we need daily, that we are to pray for the protection that we're so desperately in need of, that we also ought to pray that we would abound in the Spirit, that we would not grieve the Spirit, That's why we frequently pray for revival here in this church, isn't it? Because the Lord Jesus commands us to do so. This is the prayer petition that we should be frequently having in our prayers. That we would be powerfully indwelled by the Spirit of God. Christian, let us be encouraged this morning. Let us once again be encouraged that when we address our God in prayer, He will give us that which is good. Perhaps it doesn't look like to us that which is good. Sometimes it doesn't look like it is that we are receiving that which is good because it's not what we want. And if we're not receiving what we want, it's because we're asking either for a stone, a serpent, or a scorpion. The Lord will respond our prayers according to His will. That's precisely one of the petitions, right? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are praying that the will of God will be done in our lives. And as we pray in this way, we are also praying that all that we bring before the Lord, He will answer according to His will, which is always good, for He Himself is good. Oh, Christian, let us trust in our great God this morning. Let us trust in our Heavenly Father. That He will always give us that which is good and that what we need. That what we need to be closer to Him. That what we need to be in deeper dependence on Him. But let us also make this blessed prayer. Let us pray that the Holy Spirit will indwell in us richly. Not the indwelling of the Spirit that leads us unto conversion, for that is what we already have. All those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ are already indwelt by the Spirit, have already been given the Holy Spirit. But let us pray that we would receive a richer portion, a richer measure of this indwelling, leading us unto sanctification, holiness, and desire to live for God's glory. But you see, verse 13 also shows us a very interesting way in which Jesus addresses us. Look at verse 13 again. He says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children." Do you see, Christian, how the Lord Jesus describes man? Evil. Evil. The Lord Jesus deeply know our essence. The Lord Jesus deeply know who we naturally are. We are naturally fallen creatures. We are affected by sin. Even when we are saved, we are still affected by sin. And before our conversion and our salvation, the Lord Jesus is clearly stating the doctrine of total depravity. You see, boys and girls, that's why you learn the tulip here in this church. This is the very first T of the tulip, total depravity. Man is evil. Every thought, affection, desire, plan that comes out of man is naturally inclined to what is sinful. See, there's only one way that evil people can address our great God in heaven. It is when true conversion takes place in our hearts. You see, the blessedness of addressing our great God, counting on His willingness and His faithfulness and His goodness, is only when He Himself destroys the evilness that separates us from Him. Let us never forget that this morning. If you sit here today and you are far from the Lord, oh, you need Him to destroy that evil root in your heart and in your soul so that you may count on His willingness, faithfulness, and goodness. And there's only way for that to happen is when you come before the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance, in confession of your sin. Then you are assured that your relationship is restored, that you can count on God's willingness, faithfulness, and goodness. And although we are evil, although sin affects us, when we come before Him in contrition, confession, repentance, through conversion, we have a Heavenly Father who is our midnight friend. We have a Heavenly Father who is our midnight friend. Oh, Christian, when we pray, let us never forget. We need to count on God's willingness. We need to count on God's faithfulness. We need to count on God's goodness. Let us count on these things, and let us pray on. Let us pray together. Great God in heaven, we thank you for your word, which encourages us in this blessed, beautiful relationship you have established with us in Christ. Oh, Father, we come before you confessing that we have been a prayerless generation. That we are not a generation who comes before you with insistence, shamelessly in prayer. We pray so many times doubting that you are listening and that you will respond. We so many times pray for that which is evil, and that's why we're not answered. Father, we come before you praying that you would forgive us for these sins. And that you would encourage us through your word this morning to develop a rich and blessed life of prayer. Oh Lord, help us to count on your willingness. That you are not one who will despise us or send us away empty-handed. But that you're ready to incline your ears towards our supplications. Father, we pray that you would encourage us, reminding us of your faithfulness. That you will indeed answer our prayers when we pray them according to your own will. And that's why we should persevere in prayer. Oh Lord, encourage us knowing that everyone can come before your throne of grace. Young and old, experienced and no other experienced. Everyone who has been indwelt by the Spirit may approach you, regardless of their age and time and office and status. Oh Father, encourage us as well. As we think that you are always going to answer our prayers with that which is good. Help us to be content with the answers that you give us, knowing that you will not give us ever a stone or a serpent or a scorpion. Help us to persevere in prayer, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.